2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, we're beginning with. That's what I opened up the service with. We all stood for the truth. You're going to stand for something in your life. Stand for the Word of God. Stand for what is true. Amen. Praise God. Father God, we pray you bless your Word today. Lord, you purify this tongue, Lord God, with hot coals from heaven. It is not of the opinion of man or of the flesh, but it is straight from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me begin in verse 5. That flows a little better. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. My sufficiency is of God. That is the nutshell of the New Testament, the new promise of God. My sufficiency, my abilities, my strength, comes not from me. It's from God. My understanding, I no longer lean on. Every time I lean on my understanding, I end up on the floor. I fall over. I lean on His Word, His truth. I lean on Him. No longer am I looking for the presence of other people to satisfy me or to give me something, some kind of strength to go forward. I rely on His presence every single day. Yesterday was no exception. I had the opportunity to be alone yesterday. Gretchen was working. Maddie and Mindy went down to the Science Center for Asher's birthday down in Ithaca, liberal land down there. You get to see some protesting, right, when you're down there? Yeah. We're protesting because people are walking on the grass. You know, it's part of the college experience. I won't get off on that tangent, though, but I got a chance, an opportunity to just, it's like, okay, I'm going to be alone today. God, let's spend today together. So that was my prayer in the morning, and it was an amazing day of spiritual battle and euphoria, elation, just a whole gamut of experiencing His presence and what that meant. It was awesome yesterday. So we're encouraged to do that. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, verse 5. You can underline that. You can highlight that. Put a laser beam on that. You can put a little rubber hand that comes out and slaps you in the face. Sometimes we need that when we're leaning on our own understanding, or we're just, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull up by my bootstraps, and I'm going to grin and bear it. I'll get through this because I'm tough. Well, you'll either find yourself crushed by the rock from heaven, or you'll find yourself broken, sweetly broken on it. And we're invited to be sweetly broken on the rock to present our lives as a sacrifice to Him, and just dissolve on that rock, just fall on that rock and become broken and lose our life and find it in Him. Just let it go, man. Fall right on the rock. It's a sweet brokenness, and you'll find your sufficiency is of God. So now as we break into chapter 3 here, we're going to expand on that and expound on what this new promise is, where our sufficiency is of God. That's what the new covenant is. That's the good news that we want to tell people out there. That no longer do you have to bear this burden. Come ye that are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Verse 6 tells us just that. Who also has made us able ministers. On Wednesday night, we're talking about being priests, being ministers. And we went into a lot of different things. Mark took us to a lot of awesome verses about that. Here's another one. He's made us able ministers of the New Testament. That's simply the new promise. Don't get lost in new big words. New covenant, New Testament. It's a promise of God. It's His Word. There isn't a promise of God that's more promisier than another one. It's His promise, His Word is true. Because His name depends on it, He's put it above His name. He's really big on that, by the way. He wants you to be able to trust in Him. We have a hard time with that. You take the parable of the guy with the talents, and he thought he did pretty good, you know. The last guy that hid his talent that God gave him, the little sack of money, whatever it is, and you could parallel that into what God has given us, the giftings He's given us. And he hid it, and he thought, you know what, here's it back, and you know, just like it was, just like He gave me. And it's like, you wicked servant. And he said, but I was afraid because, you know, sometimes you're like this, God, and sometimes you're like that, and I'm not sure. There's no reward in that. There's no reward in that. There's a reward in being absolutely obnoxiously
confirm that God is true. No matter what I see with these eyes, no matter what people are telling me, Paul, you're being obnoxious, you're not being real. Come on, Paul, get in reality. Sorry, I can't go there. I have to go on what he is saying. Paul, but look, no, you look. You look at something that's more substantial than anything you could see with your eyes, anything you can experience with your ears, your hands, or anything of the five senses, is the sixth sense, is faith in the Word of God. We are able ministers of this new promise. And of this new promise, that our sufficiency is of God, that He did it on the cross, that the power and grace of God flows through us. We are now able ministers, that all these promises flow out of that one single completed promise on the cross. The good news, the gospel. We're going to break that out into at least eight different items here in the next verses. And the first, number one, is that you are an able minister. You are an able minister of this new promise of God. You are able. Well, you mean after I go to a certain amount of school? You mean after I do this or after? No. After you've entered into that covenant. After you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's raised from the dead, you are able minister. You are an able minister, fully qualified. The certificate's on the wall. The trophy's there of grace. You're ready to go. You're an able minister. I hear testimony after testimony of different preachers that have been at it for a long time. And when they started, it was just like, man, they got the Holy Ghost and they could do nothing but just give it. And they didn't know Exodus, where that was in the Bible, how many books were in the Bible, all the names of the apostles and the five pillars of this and all these things. And they didn't know any of that. They just know that I've been apprehended by this God. He's got a hold of me and I want to tell you about Him. And they started with that and just kept going. And that's our ability. That's our sufficiency. That's our strength. He's got a hold of us. He's got a hold of us. That makes us able ministers. Nothing else. No education of man. Nothing other than He's got a grip on me. God's got me. Man, He's chosen me. He's loved me. He's made us able ministers of this new promise. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And we're going to break that out now. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God help us if we go out with some heavy stones of the Ten Commandments and hand them to somebody. And, 100-pound stones. Here you go. Thanks. And, that's what's going to be talked about. It's glorious. There's something glorious about those Ten Commandments. And we're going to talk about that. But it's a burden that we cannot bear. It's a burden we cannot bear. There's something glorious because it's God. It's God's holiness and it's righteousness. But it's something that man cannot bear, such a thing in his natural sinful state, his sin nature. He needs transformation. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the Ten Commandments, clear as a bell, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was being done away, it was fading, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So no longer is it a ministration of commands and rules about God's commandments towards us. It's a ministration of Spirit. That's one of transformation, not reformation. Trying to get your flesh to be a little better. And I feel there is a large, large, large population of people that still exist on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have not been saved. They've been encouraged to stop doing drugs, to stop drinking, to stop being in pornography. And stop shacking up and stop swearing and live the clean life. And all you're doing is moving over that tree that's going to burn in hell over to the left a little bit, to the side of good, whatever way you want to look at it. Left or right, just moving over a little bit. Oh, okay, I'm going to live the good life now, but you're still on that same tree that's going to destruction. You're still on that same tree. There's a huge population in that area. It's a huge population. There's a difference between that and totally just falling broken on the rock and giving your life to Christ and finding it new in this tree of life. Wow, what a difference. What a difference. It isn't coming through because of what I don't do anymore. And I'm getting up the stairs of the things I'm not doing, and I'm climbing up, I'm getting up there, and finally, all I'm getting higher is on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I've not left that. I'm still there. And people are judging each other on that tree. Look at you down there doing that stuff. Come on up here with me. The whole tree's going to burn up. It's the sufficiency of man. It's the lie from the beginning that man can rise up and be God.
So amazing. It wasn't just the tree of evil that they bit into. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Such a great study. So how shall not the ministration, the giving of the Spirit, be rather glorious, even more glorious? You see this light above me? You could barely tell it's on. You'd be like, what's wrong with that bulb? Is it like a 2-watt bulb or something? No, because the glory of what's behind it, the sunshine that's happening today, which we haven't seen in a while, is so much more glorious. And that's what he's talking about. There's something glory about that Ten Commandments because it is something of God speaking of his nature. But man, the glorious of heaven, the presence of his Spirit is so much more. It's like, man, it's just dim compared to that. Why would I hold on to that and try to find life? I want to go for something that is even more powerful and more glorious. And that's the presence of his Spirit and dwelling in this fleshly tent. For if the ministration in verse 9 of condemnation be glorious, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Asher's pajamas this morning had turtles on it. And one of the turtles was saying, righteous, just to see if you're paying attention. But one is an administration of condemnation, and one is of righteousness. Here's the difference. The glory of a thermometer, or the glory of that diagnosis, you're like, what is wrong with me? I'm so tired all the time. I've got this headache, or I keep burping, or I've got this acid reflux, or I've got this going on. It's been going on for my whole life, and I don't know what's wrong with me. And you got this, like, you know, I'm probably going to die. And, you know, you got this, all these feelings, and all of a sudden you go to the doctor, and he says, you know, you've got this. And you're like, wow. You know, I don't have every disease under the sun. And every time I hear something, it's like, yeah, I think I got that. You know, now I know what I got. It's the diagnosis. Yeah, you've got a problem. The diagnosis doesn't fix it. So the administration of condemnation tells us what the diagnosis is. And the diagnosis, folks, for you and me, is that we fall short of the glory of God, which is his love, his very nature. You look at all those Ten Commandments, and it measures Paul Meyer saying, Paul, you don't measure up to the love of God. You fall short because you're a liar. You're an adulterer. You're covetous. You're an idolater. You don't honor your parents like you should, or the government, or anything over there. You tend to kick against everything that's above you. You have this diagnosis of love, and it's like, okay, man, now I know I've got what's going on with me. Now I know why I want to punch people. Now I want to know I can't get along with my wife. Now I know what's wrong with me. Now I know it's good to have the diagnosis. There's a certain amount of glory in that, but it doesn't heal me. That heals me. The power of the Son of God dwelling in me. That is the healing. Now I've got the diagnosis. I've got to go for the healing. I've got to go for the surgery, the medicine, whatever it is. God, lay me out on your table. Transform my heart. Take that old stony heart and give me yours, please. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excels. It just swamps over. The thermometer and the diagnosis of the doctor is the healing that actually comes with the prescription, whatever it is. Another analogy besides the light, which was provided by God today, I'd like to share one about Tony. His first trip to the beach, we're going to go there this spring, back to the same place. And hopefully Tony will be able to go. I don't know if he'll bring a kite this time, but his first trip there, maybe he was 8 or 9. And he was so excited. This little cheap little dollar store kite he had, and he was holding on to that in the back seat,
The whole time, the drive down there was, he always knew where it was, and he couldn't wait to fly that kite. I mean, that's what beach was all about to his little understanding. He'd never been there before. And he got there, got down the path, and all of a sudden he saw what he's never seen before. A huge ocean. You can't see the end of it. You can't, like Hugo Lake, see the other side. It's just immense, and it's powerful, and it's roaring. And the kite went plop on the sand. And his eyes just opened up to this new reality. A greater glory. A greater glory is the new covenant, the new promise. It just overwhelms and comes over like God's indwelling his people now.
For if that which is done away, in verse 11, was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, simple, bold speech. It'd be translated bold as well, declaring it as God's word, very word. Boldness, plainness, simplicity, sincerity. Not as Moses, verse 13, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. It was being diminished. It was fading. It was Ichabod. The glory was departing. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the old covenant, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That promise is there. It's just there for the opening. Beautiful verse in 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. You mean the Lord is the Holy Spirit? Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and the Spirit proceeds out of the Father, and the Father and Jesus are one, and the Father and the Son. And well, yes, obviously. The Lord is the Spirit. And where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's number two. Number two in this, being an able minister of the new covenant. The new covenant, number one, we're an able minister. Number two, liberty, freedom. We're going to be set free. A certain amount of something happens when the diagnosis comes, but being set free is the healing. Being set free from not being able to love my wife, not being able to do the things that God has called me to do. Being free from self, my goodness. There's no way I can be free from self unless that self is parked on the cross. There's a parking spot reserved for Paul Myers on the cross of Jesus Christ. There's one for Gretchen. There's one for each one of you. There's a parking spot. And that person over there, and that person down the street, there's a parking spot on the cross just for you. You can rest there. You can come park your life there. You can put all your worries and concerns there. You can just fall and be dissolved into that and find new life. Man, that's freedom. Verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's one of the items here, but it's also mentioned a little farther below here in chapter 4. So we're going to come back to that one. Chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? The first one you circled. Able ministers of the new covenant. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, you're a priestess, I'm a priest. We've been called a peculiar people out in this world, sojourners. We have this ministry. You have this ministry. You have a calling on your life. You have a purpose for being here. As long as you still got breath in your lungs, I'm telling you, you've got a purpose for being here. Don't let Satan cheat you out of that. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. By manifestation of the truth. Manifestation of the truth. We're living the word. We become the word of God. We live it instead of just giving it on stone or giving it on paper to someone, giving a track and running. You know, that we are manifestation of the truth. That is the new covenant. Not on stones. We become, this flesh becomes the word of God. Just as Jesus was the word that became flesh, we are called into that same ministry to walk in his footsteps, to be what he was, the word that is flesh on this earth. Manifestation of the truth in verse 2. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Every man's conscience. There's a proverb that talks about the things of man are deep waters, and those that are wise will go into there. I just butchered that verse, but I can't remember where it is. But it talks about, you know, it's not a surface thing. It's not about reforming how you act and behave. It's not behavior modification, religion kind of stuff in a club that gets you to act better and get a little higher on that tree of the good of knowledge. It is about total transformation. It's about the depths of man. It's about his heart, his conscience. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's lowercase g, speaking of Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. There's a prayer you can pray against. Somebody that's not a believer, there's your prayer, there's your target. Shoot right for the bullseye. I bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ from the blindness that he's got on this person, this grip on his life. Go right to warfare. Satan has blinded the minds. You can see the tactic of the enemy there. Blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Number 3, the new promises is one of light. It is light. We're to be salt and light out there. The new covenant we have is one of light. Shining light. The gospel of Christ is light. You bring light into darkness. That's what's being displayed as we go out in this world. Light into darkness, not condemnation. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. You know, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong, and a big long finger pointing at everybody. That's not what it is. It's to be light. The light exposes the darkness naturally. You don't have to bring the condemnation with it. The world is already condemned. When the Ten Commandments were given, the world was already under judgment from that point forward, especially. We're to bring light. Jesus said, I came to save that which is lost. We're to do the same thing. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to bring light. I came to save. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus is the Spirit. The Spirit is. There's liberty. Jesus is the image of God, speaking of God the Father. Number 3, the gospel. This is a gospel of light. Sometimes light isn't heard. Quite often you don't hear light. I've never heard it before. It's seen. People just see what you're doing. I've heard that time and time again. You're being observed out there. You don't have to have a big Jesus sign flashing in neons on top of your head. People are watching you. They know what you stand for, and then they're watching you. It's funny. It's reverse for me, and my belief in creation is kind of a reverse of like going out there and trying to find things that are evidence of creation. I'm thankful for all of that and all the ministries that do that. But mine's kind of a reverse. My belief that God created everything comes from the fact that this light hit me. The same light that spoke over that darkness and things that were formless and void took shape and beauty and meaning and purpose. There it is. There's that light again. I experienced that. I know what that light is. And I'm reading over here that light started in the very beginning.
and it shaped everything around us, the whole creation. I don't have a hard time believing that because I experienced that light. I know what it means to be formless and void and have such a depth of darkness and meaningless as purposelessness that you just don't care if you die or not. I know what that means. I know what it means to be depressed. I know what it means to have anxiety. I know what it means to go seek out ways to fight, you know, get rid of pain. I know what it means. And I know what it means when light hits those spots and I'm healed. I know what that means. I don't have a hard time believing that God could create all of this. And just out of a Play-Doh, a formless void, and he could breathe light on it. And it would take shape, meaning, and purpose because I see it all around me and I've experienced it myself. That's my greatest testimony to creation. My greatest one. My greatest argument to the evolutionist. There's all sorts of evidence out there, but there's the one that's the greatest is the thing that's standing up here now. What a mess. What a formless void that God has brought light into. Come on. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The fourth thing in the new covenant there is that Christ is the image of God. The very image of God. Eternal image. Always existed. He's God the Son. That's also in verse 4. Number five is actually in verse 5 there. We preach not ourselves. Hey, I want you guys to be like me. I want to create a bunch of Paul Myers-tions. We preach not ourselves to my benefit or accolade, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the one that healed me. That's the one that touched me. That's the one I stand up here for. I'm not here to promote anything else but him. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. That's number 5. Simply that. Number 4 is that Christ is the image of God. Who Christ is? He is God the Son. The express image of God. And we preach this Christ. This image of God. This perfect image of God. We preach him. And where we are in that context as we preach as servants. And we touched on that a few chapters ago. I'm going to talk about working with people that we're not to lord over them. We're not to lord over them. And that's very difficult. And it's not a good place to be. We're always in the foot washing business. In the foot washing business. We're not in the billy club business. You know, thank God that we have law enforcement, we have government, and God ordains that kind of stuff. But that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about foot washing. If somebody's beating you up, thinks that the police could come over and help you out. But, you know, that our main calling to represent this light and bring light to the world and represent Christ is through that foot washing, through that serving other people, exalting others above ourselves. So that's in the context of number 5 there. Is that we preach Christ Jesus and ourselves as servants. Servants of others, servants of him. That's our position. That's the invitation. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, speaking of back in Genesis, tying all the way back there, has shined in our hearts. That same light that went out from the beginning is still going out. And now it's going out into the hearts of men and women and children. Because that's where the formless void exists today. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this is number 6, and it ties us back up to the last verse of chapter 3. I'll read that last verse one more time here. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. It doesn't come through the letter of trying to be obedient to the Ten Commandments. It doesn't do that. That's a diagnosis. It comes through beholding Jesus Christ. Big difference. Big difference. When I approach this word, when I preach the word, when I'm in the word of God, I am looking for the image of Jesus Christ. I am looking for Jesus. He says, behold, I come in the volume of the book.
it is written of me. I want to experience Jesus Christ. I want to behold who I am in His very image as I get into His Word. And so that's what's happening in this reflection right now, as you see the Word of God that's surrounding us. And even this imperfect mirror right here, right, is allowing some light through. You know, the light of the gospel coming through. So this all affects this new me that's happening now. Identity is so important because Satan will attack that 24/7, 365. He's going to attack that. The thing you look in the mirror. You're no, you're not, you blew it, you're this, you're that. No, okay. No, this is who I am. This is who I am. I've been called to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Even after suffering a while, I'm perfect, established. He is strengthening me. To Him be the glory and dominion forever. And this one is slightly humorous because my daughter's humorous. Naked, I came in from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Good, healthy, Word of God. This is my identity now. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Not the things that I, don't lie. Liars won't inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, that the condemnation that comes from that. That's good to know that. That's good to have in there. That is the Word of God. But it's not my identity. That's the diagnosis. My identity now is in His very image. I look for the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. I need to see myself in that now. That's my new image. That's my new image. We've been called to be His bride. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So number 6 is having to do with this new promise is looking at Jesus Christ. Looking in the face of Jesus Christ. You can underline verse 6 there, the last part of it. In the face of Jesus Christ. You just keep staring at the face of Jesus Christ. You're going to do that as you're in the Word of God. I go in there with the purpose of seeing the face of Jesus. When I go to church, when I'm worshiping, I want to see the face of Jesus. I want to set my eyes on Him. That's how I'm going to be changed. That's how I'm going to be transformed. That's how I'm going to go from faith to faith, to glory to glory. That's how it's going to happen. Not from condemnation, you blew it again, and you got to try a little harder to get number 4 down. No. It's not going to happen that way. It is not going to happen that way. That's a very tiring old ministry of just diagnosis, and that's the old flesh, Paul. There's a parking spot for that on the cross. Now look at me and be changed. Follow me. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This brings us right back to where we started today in verse 5, that this whole promise is based on the sufficiency, that the supply of God is dependent completely on the supply of God. Do you have a problem with that? You want to be a little bit of you and you know, and part of God kind of thing, combination? It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Through our life, we discover this more and more. It doesn't happen day one when you're saved and we get impatient with people because they're not perfect Billy Grahams day one. You know, didn't you just say that prayer yesterday? And there you are, you know, doing this thing or that thing, and you let that cuss word come out or having a beer or whatever. You know, shouldn't you be like Billy Graham since you said that prayer yesterday? No. We learn. We go from glory to glory. It's a day-by-day thing there. We're going to see that in verse 16 if we keep moving forward. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what? He takes pleasure when we do take a hold of these things. And we do show strength and we lay a hold of God. He takes pleasure in our faith. We're called to that type of faith. But what overrides that, what's the greater glory, is the power of God that's got a grip on us. Because we let go all the time, all day long. But He does take pleasure when we grab a hold. We grab back for Daddy. We reach up for Him. We grab the hem of the garment. He takes pleasure in that. It pleases God when we demonstrate faith. But it sure doesn't sustain us. If it was dependent on our faith, it was dependent on our grip for God. Uh-huh. Nope. How long would you last? A day? Hours? Minutes? This is all of us. This isn't just the real bad people have to be totally dependent on God. No, it's the best. It's the highest. It's the Billy Grahams, man. It's the people that are on the highest echelon on that tree of life are completely useless. They're completely useless and dependent on Him. The more you're dependent on the power of God, you're going to see the power of God flow through you. The more it's a little bit of you mixed in there, it's going to be nothing. No power demonstrated. What a fascinating relationship we exist in. Thank God that He gave us the old covenant before the new so we can understand it even more. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Here's the fruits rolling out of the new promise. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Good, honest reality here. We're troubled on every side. Yeah. This side. Yep. This side. This side. It was this side for Gretchen this morning. This side of her hip was like, I don't know. There's something wrong with this. And I was like, oh, let me come over and pray for it. Oh, my knee's locked up. I'll get over there and pray on it. My goodness. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is perplexing. How do you fix this? What do you do? What do you do with this? Come on. We're perplexed. It's like, if somebody has the solution, we're not in despair. We're perplexed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Just because you're persecuted doesn't mean, well, God, I'm going to let go of that guy for a while and let him have a little fun and get chewed up by lions and whatever. Never forsaken. God is with us no matter what. Cast down but not destroyed. We don't fear man who can destroy the body, but rather God who can destroy the soul and body. You know, that's ultimately where our concern is. That's where wisdom is born out of. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. Speaking to the Corinthians. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That's number 8 in the final one of the new covenant that's being brought out here. The 8th item is that we believe and we speak, and it's about faith. Verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith. We receive this new promise by faith, and we walk in it in the same. Every promise after that is experienced the same way. You believe it in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, or your hands, or your eyes. You start living it. Faith has a unseen and a seen element. Very important. It's not just believing. Faith without works is dead. It's not just believing in the heart. It's speaking. There's the work that goes with the faith that expresses it. Praise God. Next week we'll be talking about applying this new covenant now. Several items are going to be brought up in the rest of this chapter going into 5 about applying this new covenant now. About believing and speaking it. Very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So we want to open up a time of sharing. Maybe we'll have a song to close. A time, Lord God, that your body can be heard, Lord. The concerns, testimonies, the praises, Lord Jesus Christ. Just the truth. Somebody wants to share a Bible verse, a prophetic word. You're welcome to do that now. You are administrators of the new covenant. You are priests and priestesses. And this is why I wanted to save this part for last, is to encourage you that you are that. And that don't wait for, well, I don't deserve, you know, I shouldn't be the one that shares something now. I don't care if you crawled in on your belly here and you want to give glory to Jesus Christ. Do it. Do it. It's not our sufficiency. It's nothing to do with that. It's all about Him. Just allow that to flow through you. Just allow Him to get a grip on you today and apprehend you. I've been apprehended for God. He's got me completely. And it's absolutely a delight to die for Him. It's absolutely a delight to live for Him. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord God. Stir your body now, Lord God, with words. Stir your body now with prophetic word, Lord Jesus, that we're to know this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just sit in your head, or yes?
Yeah, well, a couple of announcements. Next weekend, starting Friday night into Saturday, is the marriage retreat. Not just for marriages, but and you have the info up there.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign Alliance Church. And there's still time to register. And with the nice weather that we're having this week, one of God's blessings is the sweetness coming from trees. So that'll be starting up this week, which is a reminder of the pancake breakfast next Sunday.
Okay.
Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out.
Amen.
I'd like to encourage prayer and reach out for him and Nick Anthony. He's going through recovery right now from surgery he had on his foot. And so he'll be away for a little while, or put up, call up for a little while. So I encourage them. They'll need encouragement and prayer, of course. So.
Okay. We're sending a food bomb up to them. So that should be getting there about Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. Probably Tuesday, I think. So if you want to give towards that, you just throw it in the box up here. He's a energizer bunner and likes to work a lot, and so it's hard for him to adjust to the laying down by still waters, green pasture things, but God has a purpose for all these things. And so he's a very generous heart, and he's expressed Christ to the body here in that way, with just bringing people wood, youth group wood. And his famous saying is, where do you want it? they just drop stuff, and so we're gonna bomb him with a lot of groceries. And amen, praise God. That's fun to do.
Tonight's Praise Alive, East Williamson at 6:00, and I'm doing the first hour, and the Messianic Fellowship is doing the second, Community Church, and beforehand. You want to do the details of that?
Scott invited anybody that wants to come out. He's having a gathering starting at 2:30.
Okay.
And the church is only like 6 minutes from his house.
Any testimonies this past week? How God touched you? Strengthened you in a moment?
The Elevation Worship concert was really cool. Mm-hmm. Worshiping alongside a couple kids from the youth group was a good feeling.
Yeah.
No. It was neat to hear. One of the girls was very excited about it leading up to it. She'd never been to a concert before, any kind of concert. So this was a really big deal for her, and she was like really impacted by it when she got there. So a big part of these things is like have a little expectation when you go, instead of okay. Like me, just okay, drag me along. But to have a lot of expectation, God's going to do something. Yeah. God's going to do something. Well, God is working mightily on her. And that's a praise for this week. All right. Anybody else? God lifted you out of the muck and mire this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Psalm 30. I will extol you, Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me, my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for life. Believe you may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong, and hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down in the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and my clothes with my gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Psalm 3. Amen. Praise God.
Are you? give you praise, God, for turning Maddie loose at the school, Lord. That was an extra anointing this week that you provided on him, Lord God. And my hair was standing up with words that he shared just from just hearing that, Lord God, and secondhand. And thank you, Lord God. And I pray you continue to bless and fill that ministry and that outreach. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God.